And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg and Mark Mulcahy.
And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helga Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And Mark, how was your week?
It was great. I actually got to spend the week down in the beginning of the week down in Monterey in Carmel. Just absolutely gorgeous down there.
And the weather in the Bay Area right now, it's the sun is out, the heat is up, the sugar is coming into the tomatoes.
Yeah, this heat, that heat we had a couple of days ago is actually kind of nice that it's cooled down a little bit this weekend.
Oh, beautiful. And did you read that the White House finally decided to accept solar panels again?
Have they been listening to our show?
I must have, yes. Yeah, unbelievable. We had Denny Kennedy on the show a couple months ago, the founder and CEO of Sungevity, one of the leading home solar companies in the United States. And we were talking about that, Jimmy Carter, back in the 70s.
1977.
Having solar panels on the White House. And then the, who took it down?
Ronald Reagan.
The Reagan era, right. The administration took him down because of some technical issues, apparently. And it has taken taken up until now. But the White House finally has decided to put solar back on the White House roof.
Yay!
And we wanted to invite Denny Kennedy back to the show as a call-in. He's traveling quite a bit. He just returned from the Maldives, and he was not there on vacation, but actually on business. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to speak to you again.
It's so great to have you. Thanks for making the time. You have been busy. Solar is literally going through the roof.
Yeah, look, I also had the luck to get to a big Solar Power International trade show in Los Angeles this last week, and the industry's going gangbusters. It's very exciting to sort of see, you know, so much new job creation and you know, business development in the midst of the Great Recession. So,
yes.
Good time.
Well, green jobs, literally, this industry, that's why it's so important that we vote no on 23, of course.
Yep.
It does not kill job. It will create more jobs than it's perhaps the most important initiative, going green and sustainability overall, for our industry. That's really now the opportunity is here and now. But tell us about the Maldives. You went to the Maldives, and usually that's a vacation spot, but you were actually there on business. What's happening there?
Well, you know, you mentioned the White House going solar, and as part of that campaign that we launched in April this year, we had offered solar systems to heads of state around the world using Sungevity's remote solar design tool. And one president took us up on our offer before Obama did, and that was President Nasheed of the Maldives. And so this trip had been planned for some months to go out and actually do an installation on his sort of palace, this beautiful old building in the capital of the country called Malé, that the British built 100 years ago. And we put an 11.5-kilowatt system, about 50 modules, on his roof with him. If people go to the Sungevity website, they can see photos and video of the president himself working with us one morning last week, you know, getting down and dirty and rolling his sleeves up to do it, all as part of the Global Work Party, which 350.org posted. So we timed it in conjunction with that. And, you know, it's just an incredible privilege to work with a political leader whose country is clearly threatened by climate change. You know, they're already living with it. They're relocating islands and whole populations. Their fisheries are dwindling because of the warm water, and their economy, which is based on tourism, is suffering because of the bleaching of coral already.
And as
he's very clear about wanting to present solutions, and he's doing it, you know, himself, starting at his house.
Yes, and as an island state, of course, seawater rising is a huge concern for the Maldives, among many, many other islands around the country, the world. And
long before the seas sort of come up over the islands per se, they have saltwater incursions into their freshwater lands on the atoll.
Oh, yes.
And that's already happening, as well as erosion of land just by wave action. And so they're already relocating 16 islands full of people. So, you know, like, people that talk about climate change as a future threat should go to the Maldives, because it's kind of there now.
And the president, as progressive as he is a very young, just elected new president, right?
Yeah, amazing man. I mean, I think he will go down as kind of the Gandhi of this issue and climate justice struggles this century. He is young, in his early 40s, as you said. He's not only recently elected, he's the first democratically elected leader of the country,
yes.
Really. He lived under a dictator for 30 years of his life. He's still around, in fact, and sort of an eminence grise in the society there. But he was an activist in exile for a while. Then he was imprisoned. He was tortured. He was in solitary confinement for a month in a box on a beach on one of these islands and came out of all of that. And there's this amazingly gentle, visionary man who, you know, I can't say enough about him. It's just wonderful to see a head of state on Earth in the 21st century that is so engaged with his people at the same time as trying to drive solutions, not just for them, but for all of us. You know, because in a way, we're all like the Maldives. You know, we're all suffering from climate change and maybe just not as keenly aware of it as they are. And he's pledged his country under the Copenhagen Accords the most aggressive transition to a carbon neutral state. They plan to be 100% renewable by 2020. Mm. And, you know, this installation on his home was the first step in that program.
You're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us on the phone, Danny Kennedy, the founder and CEO of Sungevity, one of the leading home solar companies in the United States, who just returned from the Maldives. And the Maldives are going solar under the amazing leadership of their just elected young president. Danny, you threw in the remote solar, how do you call that design, where you can actually assess. Sungevity is the one company where you don't have to go to the Maldives with a bunch of people and spend a week of assessing the solar potential. You have a software program, I understand, that can do it remotely, and it's so accurate that you were able, in this case, to assess the solar potential of the palace, of the presidential palace in the Maldives, as any home here in the U.S., and see very accurately what the solar potential is.
Is that
accurate?
So, you know, we were able to engineer and design this system from afar. You know, literally it's as far away on Earth, I think, as you can get from Oakland, California, where we're based. But it's the same thing we do for customers all across California and around the country now as we go forward. So, you know, it's a great example of that and makes it easy. Takes away a lot of the hassle factor of going solar. You don't need a guy tramping out on your roof for a day to take the measurements.
Saves money, of course, for you, but it also saves money for your customers as you pass on that saving. So
that's right.
Tell us what's going on with the White House out of your campaign of offering free solar panels for any governmental leadership. The White House finally said yes.
That's right. So, you know, great news. They're not taking the free offer from Sungevity because I think they feel that would be inappropriate, I guess. So they're going to run a public tender process. The details of that have not been released, but the announcement was made that they would do a public request for proposals. So we intend to bid. I'm sure everyone in the industry plans to bid for that business. And you know, it's all good. Like, I hope whoever does a great job and just demonstrates that this stuff is here now. It creates jobs. You know, I think the image that I'm looking forward to is seeing a bunch of guys up on the White House roof installing solar and showing the kind of work we create in this industry.
That's incredible.
And then, you know, saving the taxpayer money on the electricity bill for the first family, which is what solar does. You know, we've just got to get over the mental perception that it's not ready and it costs too much. You know, it with Sungevity, for example, we have a solar lease. There's no investment required, no money down. You pay as you go. And for most people, you pay less than you pay your current electricity provider. So that's the story we want the White House to be demonstrating in the spring when they go solar.
Hey, Danny, is it possible to do the same thing for the governor's mansion here in California, whoever that governor may be?
Yeah, we took the liberty of sizing both Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown's houses when they announced their candidacy for the governor. Neither of them have taken us up for their homes. We did ask them to pay for it in that case or sign up for the lease. Sure, if they go governor, I'm more than keen to do that. And I heard recently that the Illinois state governor is going to put it on the governor's house in Chicago, so or wherever that is, which is great. You know, The biggest barrier now to adoption of solar is not the technology, and it's not even the financing, which is becoming more widely available. It's the sort of misperception out there that the stuff isn't ready. You know, in fact, it works for a million homeowners around the world. They're paying less for their electricity as a result of going solar than they would have, so they're saving money and they're creating, you know, the clean economy that we all want.
Yes, it's here and it's now. Thank you so much, Danny Kennedy, founder and CEO of Sungevity, one of the leading home solar companies in the United States. For more information, you can go to sungevity.com. And as you mentioned, Danny, it's an entire campaign to bring awareness to this technology. It's ready to be used on a much larger scale. How can people support you? Do you have information on the website where people can sign up and sign pledges?
We've got to update the solar on the White House stuff because it's all so new, the announcement that they'll go solar. But just go to sungevity.com, get yourself a quote. That's probably the first thing, just to become aware of your own options. And, you know, we'll be continuing to raise awareness of how we can put pressure on governors and mayors and presidents of other places.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us today, Danny. It was great to have you on the show. Thanks for the update.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Again, Danny Kennedy, founder and CEO of Sungevity. May we all realize the life-giving power of the sun, literally, in so many ways, in so many dimensions. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we're excited about our guests today, two young people from Peru who represent a new generation of healers, of shamans, in service of healing broken relationships. More on that when we come back. Stay tuned right after the break. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation as part of the Green Morning, an entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy. The Green Morning, every Saturday from 9 to 12:30 here on Green 960. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we are talking about our connection to soil and sound. Our guests this week here in the studio with us are Luz Maria Ampuero and Fred Clark, founding directors of the Nuna Aini Association, all the way from the Sacred Valley in Peru. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So wonderful to have you here. This is not the first time you're visiting to the United States. You are coming regularly every year, every other year.
Yes. Well, now it's like two times in a year.
Oh, twice a year.
Yeah, twice a year.
And what are you doing here in the U.S., coming all the way from Peru?
Well, many years ago, we started our path of a medicine path, working with different medicine, sacred plants and healing and waking up conscious about ourselves, our relation with Mother Earth and all our environment. And so many blessings in this path, and you just feel like you need to share it, no? So we start to share all what came to us in this healing process and this path. And like that, we start to meet many people from many different parts of the world and some very good brothers and sisters that lives here in the U.S. So for the first time, they invite us to come here. And there is this beautiful prophecy that our people down there holds, that is the prophecy of the eagle and the condor, that says that one day the eagle from the north and the condor from the south will dance together again. So for us, was very, very special, no? To receive an invitation and to be able to bring the medicines from the south here, no? The ways of healing. And then it start everything, no? And little by little, we start to have more and more and more times.
So 7 years ago, you heard that call of, you found your passion to study ancient knowledge. And Fred, where were you? What were your circumstances in your life? Like, where were you at?
I was just in studying in the university, like
in Peru.
In Peru, yeah, in Lima. Filmmaking, you know, something inside of me was asking me to just communicate, to say something. But at that moment, I didn't realize what was it. So
you thought the medium was film.
Yes, I felt like it was a good way to express the words, or, you know. And also music has been with me a long time, but for some reasons, to dedicate all my life in music. In Peru is difficult because you have to think about, you know, how to be sustainable in this world and so many things. So I decided to go for the filmmaking, and it was a very interesting experience. Meeting the teachers and other friends. So it was a good experience. But in some moment in my life there, I started to feel that there wasn't right things, you know, in the university, and the, you know, the system of work, and how the university and actually society give you the tools or the way that makes you feel happy or makes you be a better man, a better woman. So in all this process, I met some healers from the jungle, from Peru, and other healers from the Andes. And so I started to just like, okay, I'm gonna explore and experiment. And so I went to the jungle and I start to connect with their cosmovision of life, and how they used to work with nature around them, and all the relations between them. So for me, it was a very powerful awakening in so many things. So when I returned to the university, it was like I cannot deal with all that things that doesn't feel me good enough. So I decided to just start to continue my process and working and learning, and my healing process also. And so for the last months and years, I have been like still learning. And
Fred Clark, one of the founding directors of the Nuna Aini Association from Peru. Maria, what is the cosmovision of Peruvian ancestry for Peru and for the world, if you can describe that?
Well, we have many different tribes and cultures in Peru, like people from the jungle, from the Andes, from the coast. We have so many cultures before the Inca time, during the Inca time. By basically what I've been discovering and studying all these cultures and studying the knowledge and wisdom of so many different parts of our ancestral people in Peru and actually of the world, the message is always the same, no? It's they are connected, and their relation with everything is just alive, no? It's not, they don't need a church to pray, they don't need they just do it. They live in this. It's like bringing the spirit everywhere. No, everywhere they go, everywhere they, whatever they do, the spirit is everywhere. And when they plant a seed into the earth, they have they ask for permission first to Mother Earth. When they put the seed, they do some chanting to make the seed, no, grow. We have these traditional despachos or offerings to Mother Earth, no, where people say thank you, no, to Mother Earth, ask for permission to because Mother Earth gives us everything, no, our food, the beauty, the trees, oxygen, everything, our clothes, everything comes from her. So that relation is like so sacred. But at the same time, they look at the stars and the moon, the sun. So all of that is related, no? All of that it's in integrated, no? And that is something that really, for us, it's very important, no? From our ancestors. And we discover that in our people, ancestral wisdom from Peru and from actually everywhere we go, no? The ancestors, it's like that, no? And that knowledge is like that. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we are talking about the connection to soil and sound. Our guests here with us in the studio are Luz Maria Ampuero and Fred Clark, founding directors of the Nuna Aini Association, all the way from the Sacred Valley in Peru. And we will talk about that association a little bit more, right, when we come back after the break.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Have you heard of Local Dirt? It's the new online site for finding, selling, and buying local food. LocalDirt.com features local farms, their stores, photos, and lists everything local farmers grow and produce. Find local products in your area, in your region, or anywhere in the U.S. Want to find a farmer's market or get together with your friends and start a buying club? Local Dirt does all that at no charge. Go local with Local Dirt. Find out more at LocalDirt.com.
LocalDirt.com is a project funded by the National Science Foundation in support of local agriculture and local communities.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
For the ultimate West Marin experience, visit Toby's Feed Barn in Point Reyes Station, home of the Point Reyes Farmers Market every Saturday. Toby's Feed Barn features organic produce, native plants, gifts, books, an organic coffee bar, an art gallery, concerts, even daily yoga classes. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station. Open 7 days a week. Family owned and operated since 1942. A West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com. Marin Organic, an association of organic food producers in Marin County, California, is helping to create a healthy and sustainable food shed just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. A model for how to feed a region in a way that is economically viable, environmentally sound, socially just, and culturally appropriate. The opportunity to change the world is right on our plates. Be a part of the solution. For more information on Marin Organic and how to support its efforts, visit marinorganic.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation as part of the Green Morning, an entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy. The Green Morning every Saturday from 9 to 12:30 here on Green 960. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we are talking about our connection to soil and sound. Our guests here with us in the studio this week is Luz Maria Ampuero and Fred Clark, founding directors of the Nuna Aini Association, from the Sacred Valley in Peru, visiting us in the United States.
So, Luz Maria, before the break, Fred was telling us about his awakening. Can you share with us your awakening as well?
Yes. You have 3 hours.
You do.
Well, I was as Fred in the university, you know, we started very young, you know, like 20 years, that age, you know, in that moment, me and other friends, we were experimenting with, you know, everything and party time. And I really felt a little bit lost. And I had a lot of depressions and many things going on in my mind, in my body, in my everywhere, no? But I always feel there might be something else. Mm-hmm. This can't be all, right? Mm-hmm. The world as we know it, the world where we grow, right? So I had a radio program in the university. And I invite this person that it's a shaman in Peru. And because my radio program was about journeys around Peru. And this was an introspective journey.
Oh, yeah. So we love those. We have lots of those here, too.
So this shaman came to, well, actually, his sister came. And we had this great talk about the medicine sacred path and many, many different things. So she invited me to be part of one ceremony. And I went, and it literally changed my life, no? Because I could just connect with something that we all have inside, but it's so difficult, you know, to connect because we have so many distractions in the world, right? And I just felt that there's more, you know. Mm-hmm. There, I really could understand what was a spirit about and how a spirit is everywhere and beyond our body, beyond everything, no? And doesn't have time or space. And it's very sometimes difficult to express, but when you mention it, it's just like you just feel it.
It's truth.
So
So that was what, a little over 7 years now? You have been studying ancestral medicines?
Yeah, since 2001. That would be.
What does that exactly mean, ancestral medicines? What is in your repertoire when you do a healing? What do you use?
Well, we use different sacred medicine plants from Peru that they are ancestral because they have thousands of years. And there is this beautiful story that happened in Cusco with a doctor, like, you know, the Western doctor. And there was this healer, this shaman from town, no? And all the society, no? The scientist society want to put down this shaman and all what he was doing, no? And this doctor, his name was Fernando Cavieses, he defend him, no? He said, wait, we had only 100 years doing what we are doing and we are killing a lot of people in the way. Mm-hmm. This man is doing this for thousands of years and is not killing people in the way. So let's have more respect for this. So our country, it's full, you know, full of these traditional medicines. And it's the way our people heal everything, you know, because it's in this holistic understanding of life. We know that we have many bodies, you know, like life affects us in many different levels, the physical, the mind, the heart, spirit, soul, the energy, everything, no? So the beauty of these medicines, of these different herbs and the relation you have with plants, you know, works in all these levels, and it's not only physical, no, because everything is related. And now scientists know, no, sometimes when you have something in your mind, or we have so many, many, many different cases in the jungle and with our healers, you know, that someone that have a cancer, maybe cancer, no, in the stomach. Mm-hmm. Nobody want to treat him because it was like, no, you're gonna die, no. But he went into this kind of medicine path and he healed things from his childhood, relation with his father, and the tumor, the cancer, start to reduce and go, no. The body is just the way to tell us, hey, something is going wrong, no. And we have to trust in the wisdom of the body and the physical.
Healing from the inside out.
Yep.
I just want to step back just one little. You mentioned that when you were in university and you had your show, that there was just lots of distractions around. And a friend of mine recently said that she thinks that a lot of people aren't finding their calling in life here in the United States because there's so many distractions they can't hear that they're being called. And when you said that, I just thought, there are so many distractions, and so maybe the plants or maybe our calling in life is right there in front of us, but we just can't see it because there's too much going on all the time. And do you find that when you do rituals or when you're healing people that a lot of times they can't find what's there available to them?
Yes. Actually, we have so many distractions in this world, so many entertainment things, and that sometimes we cannot be just by ourselves alone. No, it's hard. We need just the phone or the TV or something else to just distract our mind. And so when we work with people, we can feel that. Actually, with myself, no? That sometimes it's like it's hard, no, to look inside of you, no. You have to be brave, no, because inside of you will find the truth of so many things, no, about you. But sometimes you don't want it to look at this, just like outside. With that things makes me happy. That things, no, but if you look inside, that's the real one of a big key, no. Actually, for me, the spiritual path is it's an inner knowing, no, all the time.
Yes, and we do have the chance to create that space, but it does take the courage of wanting to listen what's coming up, right?
It's not an easy path,
and it's not comfortable what might come up when you do stop and listen for a moment, because it might show that the life you have is actually a construct that doesn't really work for you or that doesn't really fully reflect you. And since we are talking about listening, Fred, tell us about your passion, and Maria, you too. Do you consider yourself as specifically sound healers? Why? I know that music and sound is a critical aspect in your work. Why? What's the role of sound for you?
Well, because everything that it's alive, you know, like trees, plants, people, everything, the world, the universe, it's all alive, no? And it's vibrating. And that vibration is affected for other vibrations. So in that sense, no, music and sounds are very, very magical, no? That's why sometimes we can listen, no, to a song and make us cry, or listen to another song and make us happy, no? Because it's the vibration of the music that affect all those bodies we were talking about before, no? The mind, the spirit, the soul, everything, it's affected for that sound. So in any ceremony, the music and the sounds, it's always an important guidance, you know, in the ceremony. And it's the beauty of the sound. Even if you don't understand the words, you can be, you know,
emotionally relating
and change, yes. You know, change many, many things in your cell memory, no?
Yeah. Mark, yeah, you're a musician too. What's your take on that?
Well,
because I just wanted, before you answer, if I have a song that in a particular moment that exactly reflects where I'm at, I'm known to have listened to a song 20, 30 times in a row, just because there's no other song that has space. It's that song right now that I need to hear. And if that's for an hour, which is really annoying to others, but or can be.
Well, two things. One, to respond to what Luz Maria was saying, is that I've never even listened to opera before, and I was in a movie, and they played an opera song in the background. And I found myself close to tears, forgetting about what the movie was doing. And I say I had no intention of ever going to an opera or even, and all of a sudden I'm hearing this woman in this aria that's coming out of her, and I'm getting chills in this movie theater going, what's going on here? And so now I attend opera, and I don't know the words because it's all in Italian, you know? And so I don't read it when it's up there. I just listen and just am moved by the vibrations or by the voice. But as a musician, it's like there's a moment where you hit a note. As a singer, I practice and I practice and I practice and I practice. And then so there'll just be a moment where you're singing and all of a sudden you're sharing this with somebody and you know it's just right. Mm-hmm. It's just as perfect as it can possibly be. And Helga, you're a singer too, so you know that where it's like you sung it great and everybody thought you were fantastic and all that. And then, but there was, you just happened to be there in a moment at the right time where you went, even though people may not have even
never
completely
had that,
got it from you, you knew that it was right as it should be in the gift that you were given to somebody.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You just have to tune in.
You have to tune in. You have to be present. You have to quiet your mind and just be with it. Yeah.
And we would love to tune in right now. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
Here on Green 960. And today our guests are Luz Maria Ampuero and Fred Clark, founding directors of the Nuna Aini Association from the Sacred Valley in Peru, sound healers and shamans, a new generation of shamans. And I would love for you to play us a song. Would you do that?
Yes, sure.
They brought their beautiful instruments. Fred, what will you be playing? What is? It looks like a mix, Mark. You were describing it as
It's like a mandolin. It looks mandolinish, but it looks like it's 12 strings. Yes.
But you don't have to play that if that's not what's calling you right now. Whatever. I was seeing the if it's whatever.
Actually, I would love to share some like very ancient instruments and sounds.
Sure.
That.
From our ancestors, they are copies. Huh? They are not original pieces.
Maria, what are those instruments?
Well, that's
this is it's a whistling vessel. It's made of clay, and it's a representation of the bridge.
The bridge between two things.
And it looks
spirit,
like
the spiritual and the material world, no? And the four elements are here, no? The earth, water, fire, and air. And the fifth element is love.
Which is you.
Yes, and sound. So
you have
to put water inside of one of the sides.
So it looks like a how would you describe that, like a
vase?
Yeah, small vases with a like a single rose vase with a slightly bigger body, like a ball at the end, connected and yet two distinguishly separate parts to
it. It's pre-Inca culture. Inca time.
And it's an earthen tone to it. So just for, so you can't see this, but we can. And it's got an animal on the top as part of the carving.
What kind of animal is that, a donkey?
It's a dog.
It's a dog. Okay.
So where is timber?
We need to be quiet to hear this. Thank you. The studio feels different. Thank you. Thank you for that. Wow. Luz Maria Ampuero and Fred Clark, sound healers from the Sacred Valley in Peru. Fred, you didn't make that high-pitched sound. It actually came out of this instrument without you doing anything. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
Because you put the water in this side, so here's air. So when you just push...
Oh, the water pushes the
water
air
come
out of this.
And the air just like...
Okay, our sound engineers trying to make this sound okay on the airwaves, but I hope people got the impression. That is incredible. So there was no, you didn't actually play this instrument. I mean, you did, but you didn't blow into it. It's a sound that comes out of water pressing out the air from one chamber into the next.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. We are talking about healing the earth and your next big project, or the big project that you're focused on right now, which in part is why you came to the United States, is to raise awareness and money, is the Nuna Aini Association. Am I pronouncing this correct?
Nuna Aini, yes.
Nuna Aini. Tell us about that. What's that project and what have you found?
Okay. Well, Nuna Aini in the Runasimi, that it's the native language from our people, Quechua. Nuna means spirit, soul, conscious. And Aini, it's the sacred way our ancestors see to the reciprocity. No, for them, everything is a giving and receiving, and it's something natural, just like breathing. No? So for us, it's like that. It's like giving and receiving of our souls all the time. It's like this sacred sharing where we all are. So we started just thinking about a healing center, but little by little, and in the experience of our life and, you know, and more awakenings, you know, we had the vision now that it's not only about healing, no? It's about healing and about ecology and about arts and about sustainability and trying to put all that together and make them work together in harmony, no? It's to integrate these four areas, no, in our lives. So now we want to create a whole demonstrative center that holds this vision, no? And that could be a self-sustainable community based in these four areas, and that we can share this vision to the world, to our people there, and into the world. No.
And you found the perfect piece of land, and we'll talk about that more right when we come back after the break. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be right back.
Sometimes I shave my legs and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I comb my hair and sometimes I won't.
Have you heard of Local Dirt? LocalDirt.com is the new online marketplace, your site to buy, sell, find, and feature local produce and products. Start a buying club, sign up for a local CSA or box program in your area, or purchase the freshest and healthiest local products your region has to offer directly from the farm, anywhere you live. LocalDirt.com, your place for local food.
LocalDirt.com is a project funded by the National Science Foundation in support of local agriculture and local communities.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you a business or a restaurant looking for the finest organic produce for your employees or customers? Earl's Organic Produce is a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. Earls has been building relationships with organic growers locally and beyond the Bay Area since 1988. So Earls offers the ability to choose produce from many growers of all sizes throughout the changing seasons. For the finest organic produce, visit earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Sungevity wants solar energy to be available to everyone. It's that simple. And with the new Sungevity Solar Lease, it can be. The Sungevity Solar Lease makes it easy to power your home with clean, renewable energy and save money every month, all with no money down and low monthly payments over 10 years. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
Are you looking for a romantic and unusual location in the Bay Area for your wedding or upcoming anniversary? Toby's Feed Barn offers the perfect venue for your celebration. A rustic barn in the heart of beautiful West Marin, with local organic caterers ready to delight your guests amid bales of hay. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station. Open 7 days a week. Family owned and operated since 1942. A West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us in the studio today, Luz Maria Ampuero and Fred Clark, the founding directors of the Nuna Aini Association from the Sacred Valley in Peru, to shamans and sound healers. We just heard a beautiful little sound healing session before the break. Thank you again for that. And we were just talking about your goal and vision of establishing a center that is both a healing center as well as a model for ecology. Maria, you found the perfect piece of land, right?
Yes.
tell us about it. Where is it located and why is it perfect?
Well, it's located in San Salvador, that it's like 10 minutes from Pisac. That is one very touristic place, and it's just like 10 minutes from there, from that town. It's part of the Sacred Valley also. Like Machu Picchu, it's also part of the Sacred Valley. More people know. It's like, we are from Peru, from where? Machu Picchu? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's part, you know, of that valley. And well, we it's not only because we have this very profound connection with the Sacred Valley in Cusco and the mountains there that we call them Apus. It's because also the heritage that we have from our people for, you know, working with the earth, with, you know, the land, and grows food. We have so many varieties of corn and potatoes and quinoa and kiwi, so many good food, and most of it organic. No,
yeah, you mentioned there are like hundreds of,
yes,
of
hundreds,
varieties of
hundreds
corn,
of corn, and we have like 8,000, if I'm not wrong, of potato types, yeah, of potatoes.
8,000.
Well, actually,
varieties of potatoes.
Well, actually, the interesting thing about that is when the Irish potato famine that nearly wiped out the population of Ireland because they only used one potato, it's called a lumper. And they had to go to Peru to find another variety.
That was not susceptible to that.
Because there were 8,000 varieties there,
yes,
and they weren't just growing one.
Yes.
And they brought that back to Ireland. That basically saved the Irish population from starvation.
And they found a variety that was not susceptible to that disease.
That was resistant, yeah, to that disease. And so Peru basically saved us, my grandfather, and so that's why I'm here today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why we wanted to do it there and in the Sacred Valley, because there's where our ancestors built all these ways to work with different weathers and
climate zone regions.
And inside of all this cosmovision, you know, of to look at the moon and the seasons and, you know, everything have the magic. And so we feel it's a very good place. And also we don't want to do this for us. No, we want to do this to share. So Cusco, it's very
accessible. There's an airport.
Yes. No, yeah. it's very accessible for people, and a lot of people from all around the world. It's always around there in Pisac. So for us, it's like the perfect place. No.
So do restaurants in Pisac, for example, feature organic food, or is that by default organic? Like, what's the
Most of it is default.
How's the awareness around this? I mean, you know, coming from an American perspective, for us, this is beautiful ancestral wisdom that we need to reintegrate the dance of the eagle from the north and the condor from the south. But Peruvians have grown up this way, right?
Yes.
How great is the American influence in Peru? Are people aware of the heritage and the beauty that you are holding, the wisdom, the value of that?
Yes. I don't know if they are like conscious aware. They just live like that. And luckily, because of there's no that much money to get insecticides or chemicals, pesticides for the land, people still uses their old ways, no? When we are there and talk with the people, you know, about the plastic bags and many different things, people is you know. But we want to create like a whole campaign to really generate conscious and to really put that value on our people.
Yeah, because, you know, if people don't value it, they won't defend it.
Yes.
You know, you got to know the relationship of that value.
That's part of the work we want to do.
Yeah, beautiful. And you have a workshop coming up next week. You're still in the United States for how long? Another week or so?
Yes, till the 26th of October. And we have been sharing some sound healings and ceremonies. And unfortunately, right now, everything is full and
sold out.
But the women workshop is still there. We have some spots still available, and will be from the 21st to the 24th. I will lead it. I've been leading this workshop in Peru and also in Spain last year, and this will be my first time doing it here. And
what can women expect? It's a women's workshop. Fred, will you be there, or is it, I mean, as a teacher, I'm not.
No, I'm gonna be in San Francisco. A friend of mine asked me to marry them, so I'm a priest.
Or something like that. But no, it's this just vision that I have. Like, for us in our cosmovision, we talk about Pachamama. And it's like the mother of the universe, the ones that contains all the feminine. And so each one of us is a little Pachamama. This place is a Pachamama. Mother Earth is a big Pachamama. And in my vision, what I saw, it's like Pachamama is giving birth a new humanity. And we are right now in that process, men and women in contractions, right? We all are like in that labor work. And what I saw and realized, it's we all women, because we had that information in our body of how to give birth. We are like the midwives of Pachamama. So it's very important that women go back again to connect with the feminine, and as men to the masculine, to the real one, not the one that society just...
I was just wanting to say that it seems that men can use and need this work just as much, maybe more so, because if you really trace back most wars, the destruction of the earth has been led by men.
Yep.
And it seems that men need to not, you know, integrate the feminine, but become the real man that we are supposed to be, which is in protection of the feminine. Yes, Mark.
So with that being said, with that beautiful statement that you just made, is there something maybe in your center, or is there something that you're creating that's would be available for men? You're doing this workshop for women.
Mm-hmm.
And have you either of you two thought about creating these workshops for men,
yes,
for the masculine?
We talked about that a lot. And
yes, actually, we have been talking and see, but first, We would like to have in Peru to have the place, no, to host the people. But I'm thinking about to do something. It's getting more stronger for me, and I can see it actually here in North America that more men are aware and they want to do that kind of work. So yeah, me a lot. No,
we're all in contraction. Yeah, it's very true.
All of us.
Yes.
Yes, we are giving birth so many things.
So the only chance to see you in the States right now, the Women's Workshop in Nevada City from the 21st to the 24th next week. All that information is on your beautiful website with an amazing video showing your work. Actually, that was in Peru, right?
Yes, yeah. That was in Peru.
The group that came to Peru that you led, very moving. NunaAni.org, and that is spelled NunaAyni, two A's.
Yes, can I?
.org, absolutely.
So yeah, we found that this piece of land that we would like to buy. And so we are in this fundraising. And so for any people that is listening that would like to support us and this project and this vision, we create a PayPal account, very easy. You just have to go to our website and there it is, a little button that says donate. And anything, it's good for us. We are just in this fundraising that we can have this little piece of land and then to build all this center to share all these things and wisdom, not only from Peru, from everywhere around the world. We just want to gather and unite, you know, all nations and all wisdom and all knowledge, because we respect them all. No?
Yes, please support their work. And it seems like a great investment that will have an effect on the entire planet. Again, that website is NunaAni, NunaAyni.org. And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thank you so much to our guests today. Again, here in the studio with us, two sound healers from Peru, from the Sacred Valley in Peru, Luz Maria Ampuero and Fred Clark. Such a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for the invitation. Many blessings for everyone.
And while we do the little outro, Fred will play this beautiful Peruvian instrument.
An Organic Conversation is produced by our amazing Jen Lloyd. Associate producer, the outstanding Gina Ristani. Underwriting production is provided by The Ear, the one and only Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all. And as always, thanks to our team here at Green 960. And of course, to you, our listeners, for being part of the show and for actually listening.
For our blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous shows, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and many other social media services. Always look for An Organic Conversation and send us your comments and questions, please, to share@anorganicconversation.com.
Coming up right here after the hour is Your Supernatural Life with Beth Greer, a fantastic show on how to live a healthier, less toxic life. So please stay tuned.
And we're your hosts, Helge Hallberg
and Mark Mulcahy.
We'll be back right here, same time, same place, next Saturday at 10 a.m. Have a great weekend, and thanks again for listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960.